order, I will do the roll call.
Yvette Itu.
Here.
Bruce Rinker.
Here.
Dan Moore.
Here.
Three members are present, which constitutes a quorum.
Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, can I get a motion to approve the minutes of April 17th meeting?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. First order of business is the financial report. Wade.
Thanks, Joe. I'll wait till David gets our PowerPoint queued up there. Okay, commissioners, we're 4 months in. Looks like the rain is starting to break a little bit, and we'll go through the numbers through the first third of the year. I didn't highlight anything on the consolidated page, but I did want to point out a couple things. You'll notice right here in terms of revenue overall, we're up slightly. That's about 1.6%. So we're pretty consistent through 4 months with the prior year. Some areas are down, some areas are up, and we'll talk about that in more detail. I did want to draw your attention. Construction expenses are over at $11.5 million through the first 4 months. We've talked about this previously, but that's made up of a lot of different items. Primate Forest, Hinkley Dam, Hawthorne Parkway Bridge, Seneca has the irrigation and other work going on, the Sailing Center, which we were just at the groundbreaking, the lakefront parking lot, the Heritage Boat Docks, Washington Golf Course Driving Range, and Garfield Pond. So when I list that, you go, wow, that's a lot of work that's been done in just 4 months of 2025. And so that's what's driving the $11.5 million compared to the $9.6 million in the previous year. But if we go to the details, a couple items to raise up. With the zoo first, you'll see a big revenue coming in from the Zoological Society, the $444,000. That's their share of, that's our share of the member revenue that they collect. That's just a timing issue. You can see it's zero here. In 2024, we got that share of membership revenue in May, so that will catch itself up. The other item I wanted to point out, this looks like it's lagging quite a bit in terms of general admissions, and we've talked about this in prior meetings, but it never hurts to repeat it so everyone understands. In January, we made a payment to Artistic Holiday Design for their share of Wild Winter Lights, which is a revenue reduction. And that was a larger payment than normal, and that happened in January. So that ended up pulling that revenue down. If not for that adjustment, admissions at the zoo are pretty consistent with the prior year. And then at the bottom, you'll notice that right here, we've got almost $5 million in restricted capital expenses. That's Primate Forest, which if you drive up and down Wildlife Way or just walk down by the zoo, you can just see it happening. Any questions on the zoo? Okay, then in golf, what I did want to point out is the month of April in 25 beat the month of April in 24 in terms of total revenues. We're about $95,000 behind where we were last year at this point, which is 4.6% behind. But to frame that up, when I reported to you last month, I looked at my notes, we were 17% behind. So we've closed that gap. I know we have some of the golf staff with us. The first 5 or 6 days of this month were heavy rain, but it looks like it's clearing now, and I have full confidence that once this rain goes away toward the end of the month and into June and July, we're going to catch up and do just fine. Our expenses and everything else are right in line with where we thought they would be. I did want to point out two golf courses because many are running a little bit behind where they were, but Mastic Woods is actually running ahead of where it was through 4 months in 24 compared to 25. So there are what I would call our winner this month in terms of how they're doing compared to prior months. And in Shawnee, I raise that up because it's very close given everything that's gone on there, all the challenges that they faced, to be pretty close to where they were. In 24, they were being subsidized or just under about $6,700. Now it's $18,000, but they'll catch up. But Mastic Woods is doing very well so far. As we've looked at the rounds played in May, they look good. Again, it's just the water that's hitting us. If the rain will stay away, everything will be okay there. And then the last thing, last large group, talk about enterprise. And the one thing I didn't highlight concessions I should have. Concessions are within 1.4% of where they were in the previous year, year-to-date, which is excellent. Dock rentals, I raise this up because it looks like it's lagging. That's just due to timing. We're fully rented up at all of our docks. It's just the payment of those dock revenues is coming in a little bit behind. But but I did want to point out that concessions were doing well. And when you look at the next page, that tells the story. We like to talk about Merwin's quite a bit. Merwin's is doing much better this year. I know it shows a negative, but this is the tough 4 months of the year. And its results are almost double what they were last year at this time. And then you can see 55th Marina, that revenue's lagging from the payment. We're a cash basis reporter to this board. As those dock rentals come in, that will catch up to where it was in 24. Everything else is right about where we thought it would be. Things are starting to open up. We're filling the change funds and getting ready for Memorial Day in a couple weeks. And then we're off to the races, so to speak, with all of our enterprise operations. There was nothing out of the ordinary to report on some of the other enterprise operations, but I include them every month. They're in your packet. And then the last group we talk about a little bit is the nature shops. And that revenue's lagging, and it has been. And I did sit down prior to this meeting with the marketing staff because I said, we really need to understand this, and I want to be able to share with the board. That's almost entirely driven by the eclipse last year. We looked at eclipse revenue through the first 4 months, and the eclipse last year was on April 8th. That accounted for almost $99,000 of net revenue. So if you adjust out the eclipse, which is an event we didn't have this year, we won't have again for a long, long time. We're pretty consistent with where we were. So the nature shops, again, the sales are going to pick up. They're just a little bit behind right now. I think that's the theme for everything, is that the weather and other things have caused everything to kind of be shifted back just about 30 days from where they would have been last year or in a regular year. But all in all, I feel very good about where we are. We met with the auditors today, and I know you did. The annual audit has been issued. It's clean, unmodified, and everything's great there. So from a financial standpoint, I can report that we're in good shape and looking forward to starting the busy season. But I'll stop and see if there are any questions.
Thank you.
Good, thanks.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda, we are celebrating a retiring guest, Matthew Selby, and his over 32 years of experience. Amy, would you like to come forward?
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Matt Selby. He has been with the Cleveland Metro Parks and the Chalet for 36 seasons as a seasonal and then part-time. It's bittersweet that he is now retiring. I am so happy for him, but he was an integral part of the Chalet. He has worked for every manager since the Cleveland Metro Parks has taken over the Chalet and has just been an integral part of building, managing, maintaining. Luckily for us, he has shared his experience and wisdom with staff, so hopefully that will continue at the same high level that we have been. But Matt is just, he's just a jack of all trades. If we dreamed it up and said, can we build this, he would do it for us. So we're definitely going to miss him. So congratulations.
Thank you.
We have enjoyed. I might have actually started with Matt as a seasonal, so.
We won't mention that.
A lot of history. We're definitely going to miss him. So thank you so much for all your service to the Chalet and Cleveland
thank
Metro
you.
Parks.
Thank you. It'll be strange not being part of the family. It's always felt like a family working at the Chalet, so thank you for everything. Commissioners, the recommended action to recognize Matthew Selby falls on the middle of page 9.
So moved.
So is that a motion?
So.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Next item on the agenda is budget adjustment number 4. Wade.
Thanks, Joe. Commissioners, you'll see on page 10 budget adjustment number 4 in the amount of $658,024. The detail is on pages 36 through 38. Nothing out of the ordinary. These adjustments are for grants we received, donations we received, and restricted funds we received from the Zoological Society, and I would ask your approval of budget adjustment number four.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And Commissioners, item C, which falls right after that, starts on the bottom of page 10, goes to page 11. We have to establish a hearing date for our tax budget for 2026 already, and I'm asking that you approve that date be June 10th, 2025 at 11 a.m., where I'll present the tax budget for next year so that the county can get our tax budget, asking for the full collection of the 2.7 mils that were approved in 2022. So I need the establishment of that date.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wade. Next item on the agenda, adoption of revised policy. Certain board-approved policies have to come back to be reapproved every 5 years, and this is one of them. Kyle, anything you'd like to say?
No, I think you covered it just high level. This is the designated areas for no swimming or body contact with water policy. It's a minor update, and as Joe said, every 5 years it comes before the board for review and approval, and you'll see it on page 39 and 40 of your packet.
Can I ask one question? In these prohibited areas, do we have a sign?
Yes, in the prohibited areas, there's
okay,
a sign.
Very good. That's not only question.
Was that a motion?
Oh, yeah, I move the motion. So,
second.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Moving on to letter E. This is where Sean will start his train of action items coming forward here. The first one we have is bid number 6914 Garfield Parkway Bridge Rehabilitation. Sean?
Thanks, Joe. Good morning, Commissioners. We do have several items before you this morning, starting with the Garfield Parkway Bridge. This is a project that is primarily funded from our municipal bridge funds. Mm-hmm. We, several years ago, really lobbied hard to make Metro Parks eligible for those statewide bridge funds. We received about a little over $1.5 million towards this project, then adding about $300,000 from the sewer district. So what we're being asked of you today is to approve the bids, that the low bid that we received for the project from Great Lakes Construction. We were within 2% of our engineer's estimate, which we're pretty happy with. Yeah. We do want to make a note for the record here that we did receive one bid that was lower than Great Lakes, but it was actually deemed non-responsive from Mr. Excavator, and we worked with ODOT to deem that bid non-responsive because they didn't follow the proper protocol. So even though they were low, they had two fatal issues. So we worked through to make sure that the ODOT approved and that we also have deemed that low bid non-responsive. So
those are material?
The two items were they did not submit the documentation necessary to meet the minimum threshold for MBE, the Minority Business Enterprise requirement of ODOT. Anytime we do a federal project, we have a MBE established minimum threshold, and the low bidder did not meet that. And then they also had a clerical error in their bid that resulted in such a difference in price. They were about $500,000 lower than the engineer's estimate, which was in error. So that's why we're bringing forward construction of the two responsive bids. And I leave it to Joe for the recommended action or to you for any questions.
If there are no questions, the recommended action falls on the middle of page 13 to authorize the CEO to enter into a contract with Great Lakes Construction for bid number 6914 in the amount of $2,293,000.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Next up for consideration is Co-op 6949. This is the Cleveland Harbor West Pier improvements. This is the causeway that goes from Wendy Park to the Coast Guard Station, kind of piggybacking on the Army Corps' work. We're adding a channel and the conduit to pull utilities to the Coast Guard Station at some point in the future. Utilities were always an impediment to improving it and finding a good end use for that Coast Guard Station. So thankfully, the Army Corps has come around. Originally, they told us they were never going to fix the causeway. New leadership now is going to fix it, and we're going to take advantage of that by putting in the appropriate channel and conduit to pull all of those utilities forward. I stole this one from you, Sean.
The question I have on this is why if they're doing the causeway, which just will allow our boats to go in and out of the river, why wouldn't they put the trench in or whatever? It's part of the construction of the thing. I don't see why we have to pay for that.
It's a great question, one that we also asked. We have actually really developed a strong relationship with the Army Corps on this specific project. To Joe's point, they told us that unless the pier was falling into the river and impeding the federal navigational channel, they had no plans to fix it. And then that actually switched. I believe the investment that they are making into the pier is $7.5 million, if not more, which is very, very appreciated and notable. There are things that we found out during this process that certain improvements aren't related to navigation. So they do not assume that a fence is related to navigation, even though it's safety related. And they do not assume that utilities going to the former Coast Guard station are related to navigation. So they're very strict and staunch. So we actually entered into an agreement and a lease with them just a few weeks ago that allows our ability to access the Coast Guard station over the pier, which before we had to do that through an agreement that the city of Cleveland had, and it was a loose license. So we feel that the partnership is very beneficial in that the investment that's being asked of you today for approval is, I don't want to say just a small percentage of the improvement being made at the pier, but for 1,700 linear feet of fence and 600 linear feet of utility trough that gives us the ability to bring the utilities out to the Coast Guard station, we feel that this is a very, very necessary investment.
And conversely, we have the flexibility as the end use of the station itself.
We do. The station is, even though we have to get to it via the lease down the pier, the station itself, the former historic Coast Guard station, sits within the lakefront lease that was amended now 3 years ago.
Now, will the new causeway be able to handle heavier traffic?
You ask great questions. We have been in very detailed conversations with the Army Corps about the loadings. The blunt answer is yes, but they are extremely conservative about loading on the pier. So it's something that we work with them hand in hand on.
So what does that translate into? What kind of vehicles?
So day-to-day use, absolutely fine. Construction use, absolutely fine. They are very, I'd say, guarded against heavy vehicles, semis, box trucks fully loaded. So those are the things that we have to work out details with them. But day to day, we have no issues getting back and forth to the Coast Guard.
So like if you had food services or stuff like that, those kinds of vehicles would have to meet a certain weight?
Correct, yeah. Where we have to really pay attention is if someone, there's a lot of events out there, and we might have to break up deliveries to those events to stay within thresholds.
But a cement truck would be out of the question.
Well, not during construction. So, I mean, right now there's excavators that are working on the pier doing the work. But we have to, if we're going to do something like that, we would probably go to the Corps for a special approval just for that one-time use.
Was there ever water there? I know there was electric there.
There was water there. And the ability, so what we're designing and what's in the request in front of you is a utility trough. So think of a 2 foot wide trough, 600 and some feet long, that allows us to bring water, allows us to bring sewer, electric, gas, if we so choose. So we could put all the utilities in this raceway.
And there's no separation requirement that you run into?
It's much like we would look more of the building code as if we were in a building, in a raceway of a building, because we're not buried and because we can insulate. We can look at the code a little differently.
Wow.
We did use a little bit different of approach for this one. We went through a co-op, of which we are a partner through the state of Ohio. And in the co-op, they have a whole catalog of pricing. So they work with contractors to meet that catalog of pricing. And that's what's reflected in what is before you here today.
Cool.
What's the expected end use of the Coast Guard station?
He doesn't like these questions.
Great question. We've gone through a lot of conversations, and what we've found is we need to make it at least available to have serious conversations. Burning River Foundation and those who've been related to it have done some past programming and studies on what the Coast Guard station could be. Our partner in the foundry has kind of lightly operated out of the boathouse. So I think we'll have a lot more.
Yeah, I think it's definitely TBD. I mean, certain discussions only went so far when they realized there were no utilities. So the Foundry didn't need utilities. They were a good tenant. But all of the other agencies that were interested early on, Cleveland Water Alliance, when they were forming, they have a presence there, and certain others, once they would have to pay to bring the utilities, we weren't going to pay to bring other people's utilities for their private use. It just kind of fell apart. So I think now we're actually at the beginning stage of actually hopefully going to be having some of those discussions to really find out what is the best end use of that. Once the sailing center is open, how much programming does the Foundry need to have off-site? Do they still need to do some programming at the Coast Guard station in the interim? I think we don't know that yet, so I think we want to make sure that that's not needed for the sailing programming, because we don't want to turn people away from that level of programming and then look into bringing those utilities. Yeah.
So it's almost turnkey then?
Yeah, our ability is to make it basically shovel-ready turnkey.
Yeah, cool.
There are no further questions. The recommended action falls on the bottom of page 14 to authorize the CEO to enter into a contract with Regency Construction Co-op 6949 in the amount not to exceed $692,092.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Next item up for consideration is contract amendment number 10. As Sean mentioned in previous board meetings, there are going to be multiple GMPs coming forward in regards to the gorilla primate rainforest. Addition, this is GMP number 9. I'll turn it over to Sean to explain.
Great, thank you very much. So as we have sequentially been bringing forward the primate forest project, you have seen multiple GMPs, and that has really served the project well. It's served our ability to not only move, stay on budget, and stay on schedule, but also stay in front of a lot of what we're seeing in the markets when it comes to construction and construction pricing. Happy to say that Higley has done a very good job in all regards of bringing the new portion of the work that we're doing down at the rainforest and primate forest within our budget. What's in front of you today is the next GMP relative to the work to remodel the rainforest. So in February, we brought you a request for GMP approval to order equipment. So that was roofing materials and also HVAC equipment. Primarily what's in front of you today is the installation of that equipment, and we want to do that this year. And it's interesting to be up here in May talking about wanting to get work done before the snow flies, but that's exactly what we're talking about here to get this work rolling.
Thank you, Sean. If there are no further questions, the recommended action falls on the bottom of 16, going into page 17 to authorize the CEO to enter into a contract with the Albert Higley Company in an amount not to exceed $6,999,008.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next item is contract amendment number 2 for contract 1738, design builder for Cleveland Metro Parks Baldwin Creek Lowhead Dam removal in the Mill Stream Run Reservation. We have an opportunity here to remove an impediment and restore normal hydrology and sediment transportation in the creek. Sean, anything specific you want to mention?
Thank you. This is also the second in a series of what we expect to be two GMPs. In January, we brought to you GMP 1. For demolition and site prep, and now with GMP 2, this will round out the project for all the dam removal and the restoration.
If there are no questions, the recommended action falls on the top of page 19 to authorize the CEO to amend the guaranteed maximum price with Biohabitats for the construction of RFP 6767 in the amount of $465,258.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And moving on to number I, next item up for consideration is approval of amended LPA local let project agreement for the Garfield Parkway Bridge replacement in the Mill Creek area of the Garfield Park, directly across from the program center, effectively called the White House Bridge Crossing. I believe this was mentioned in previous board meetings about the ability to achieve this project. Sean's going to explain the nuance of the costs related to it.
Thank you, Joe. When we receive federal funds and we act as an LPA, that is a local public agency, that's really the ability that ODOT gives us to use federal funds to be our own construction manager, which is a great ability that
we get deputized.
Exactly. And not all municipalities are given that level of confidence. we are looked at in this vein, kind of as a municipality. That being said, we need to update the agreement for a few reasons. One, now that we have final bids in, we want to reflect that. But there's really something kind of specific in this one, in that Joe mentioned the White House Bridge Project, which is a $55 million bridge replacement project that ODOT is doing just next to Garfield Park. We actually made a decision back a few months ago because ODOT wanted us to deposit $2.7 million with them to keep our project coupled with their project, and we felt that we did not want to lock up that amount of money for that long. So we made the decision to decouple, and that was the right decision to make, because not only did our bids come lower than that, but now we're kind of in control of that project ourselves as an LPA. So what's in front of you today is the updated agreement that we will have with ODOT to administer that project. And what was before you just a few action items ago today was that bid for Great Lakes Construction.
So how'd you get them to agree to that?
Well, they actually brought it to us and said, if you want us to keep your projects together and have us build your project, you deposit $2.7 million with us within, it was a very short time period, like 2 weeks. And we just, Wade wasn't happy with me. The decision, I don't want to say it was easy, but it was one that we had to make quickly, and we did, and we're glad we made that decision, because not only do we not have to tie up that money, but we got the project done cheaper by bidding it separately.
Nice.
Yes.
If there are no further questions, the recommended action falls on the bottom of page 19 to authorize the CEO to amend the LPA with ODOT in the amount of $1,567,500.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Moving on to letter J, the next item up for consideration, approval of LPA construction manager at risk Lake Link Franklin Enhancement Project. This is a project that is really going to complement the Irish Town Bend project. It's went through a couple different iterations, and I think it's found its final alignment. Sean?
Great, thank you. We have made a request of ODOT for the second time in the history of the state of Ohio, first time in the history of Metro Parks, to deliver an LPA project. We've just discussed kind of the LPA setup, to deliver it as a construction manager at risk delivery model, meaning that we've had a lot of success delivering projects construction manager at risk. Irish Town Bend is very unique. Thank you, if you could bring up that map. It's unique in the fact that there are many components of the project. So what you see shaded in red is the Lake Link Trail. So we've got the Cleveland Foundation Centennial Lake Link Trail. This is the final 2,200 linear feet that needs to be built to fill that missing tooth up to the lakefront from the towpath trail. And then Franklin Boulevard here. Franklin Avenue. It's been realigned at the top of the hill to actually realign like it did in the 40s and 50s with Franklin. So that being said, there's federal money in this project, of which we are the sponsor, and then there is federal money in the Franklin project to build a sidewalk and trail along the project itself. And then Irish Town Bend, there are multiple components of the park project, of which we are the recipient of an Outdoor Recreation Legacy Program grant of $10 million, which unlocks another $10 million that Land Studio has raised. Where all this is going is, it would be really beneficial to have one contractor do this work. And in doing so, if we did the typical process with ODOT, we would bid it out and be kind of at the whims of the market to who submits and who is low. And then we'd have a different contractor potentially for doing all the park components. So what ODOT has done is given us the approval after months and months of due diligence and back and forth to deliver the Lake Link Trail construction manager at risk, the Franklin Enhancements construction manager at risk, and then also the park project, which ODOT does not have purview over.
It's huge. Yet,
yes, so this process I don't want to say simplifies, but it certainly streamlines how we can be successful in Irish Town Bend for controlling cost, quality, and schedule. So the LPA agreement memorializes that fact, in that ODOT is giving us the ability to
do the project. Sean, how does it break down? I mean, the Lake Link Trail, Franklin Avenue, and what the feds are going to contribute to the park itself.
Correct. How does it break down?
Among those three major...
I'll do it kind of big picture. Mm-hmm. Let's start with Franklin enhancements first. Right now, we are actually applying for additional funds through NOAACA, who has funds through their congestion mitigation and air quality program. We have 3.335 awarded. We're asking for, I know it's in the minutes, but we're asking for about another $1.5 million.
Why?
Those are federal funds. Because that award that was provided is from 2015 or 2016.
Cost.
So, yes.
Wow.
And they're amenable. The expectation is that.
They have the money.
They do have the money. Mm-hmm. Correct. And then separately, on the Franklin enhancements, there was a congressional earmark of $750,000 that was actually awarded without a sponsor. So the group came to us and said, Cleveland Metro Parks, could you add that in with the trail? The work complements itself. We said, yes, as long as we're not responsible for the match. And the city of Cleveland has come forward and said that they will be responsible for the match in any overages. So we're kind of held harmless there, which is good. So that's those two components. Then on Irishtown Bend itself, the award for the Outdoor Recreation Legacy Program was about $10.2 million. That's matched by Land Studio with another $10.2 million. So that's $20.4 million, give or take. And then Land Studio is looking to raise a total of $40 to $50 million for the park improvements. So if you
just those park improvements?
Correct.
Wow.
Correct.
Are the federal dollars at risk?
So the Outdoor Recreation Legacy Program, I think, is under review, but we don't think it's under threat like some other programs may be. That being said, we are working very hard that we have our contract signed with the feds by September, because we actually sign it with the state, and then the state works with the feds and the National Park Service. So we work with ODNR. ODNR works with National Park Service.
So, go ahead.
Who's in charge of the development that's happening right now on the hillside?
So the Port Authority is the project sponsor for the stabilization project.
Okay, so the work that's happening right now is the Port Authority stabilizing the hill. After they stabilize it, the Metro Parks will come in to make it more of a park once it's stabilized. Is that the idea?
Right now, we are fully committed to construction and management of the trail. We have to work through all the details with the city of Cleveland and the partners to finalize details on the park management, park construction, things of that nature. So we're trying to line all that up.
Okay, so that's not set yet.
It is not,
and it's not
set.
And that's not what you're asking for in this.
It's not what
you're
we're asking for.
But we'll have construction.
Okay.
Yes, we'll have the hoping and assuming that all those things get buttoned, we'll have the ability. ODOT will give us the ability to deliver at least the trail component and Franklin and enhancements as construction manager at risk. That's really what is in front of you today with the LPA agreement.
But long term, that would be the same construction manager at risk for the balance.
Correct. Yeah. That is our exact goal.
And then the sheet piling, that's the Port Authority.
Yes, so the sheet piling and the caissons is the Port Authority, and it will be the Port Authority. In fact, they will be taking ownership of the land next to those caissons in perpetuity for their required maintenance.
It's their right of way.
Yes, in effect.
So this is
a public
highway. It's a big general contractor job, isn't it, for the Metro Park?
This is a large project, yes, no doubt about it.
Complicated.
Yes.
Well, that's great that you can take that on.
Piece of cake.
Yeah. Piece of cake.
Do another one.
Yeah, there'll be more to come, obviously, as we...
Sure, there'll be more reports.
Cross T's and dot I's in relation to building the park and managing the park in the future. But the item before you, the recommended action falls on the middle of page 21. The board authorizes the CEO to enter into LPA Construction Manager at Risk Agreement with the Ohio Department of Transportation.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And lastly, we're looking the amended Richmond Road Connector Trail. This is the trail that's really going to connect Bedford and South Chagrin. Sean, you want to explain the details?
Great. Thank you. I'll be brief on this one. Any way you could pull up the map, Dave, that would be very helpful. Thank you. So we have several critical gaps. Really, we're just down to two now in the system. So this is a short stretch of trail that will connect South Chagrin to Bedford Reservation. This is a tripart partnership, if you will, with the villages of Glen Willow and Oakwood. and we have a development agreement with Glen Willow. So what is in front of you today is a request to amend that development agreement to reflect the bid prices that they have received from Agresta, the single bidder that bid on the roadway widening project and the trail project. It's a touch higher than we expected, but it's still within engineer's estimate, and we are comfortable and excited to get this project done. It has the majority of the funding is coming from a grant fund we got from Clean Ohio Trails. So what's in front of you today is cleaning up language with Glen Willow to allow the project to move forward.
Kudos to the mayor of Glen Willow in order. He's really been working this for years.
Yes, he has. They've been a wonderful partner.
The recommended action for this item falls on the middle of page 22, that the board amend the PDA with the Village of Glen Willow to the cost of $521,138.20.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, Sean, take a seat. Stretch your legs out. next up for consideration is the tabulation of award and bids. There are four that we're looking at, two IT-related cybersecurity and Cisco Enterprise agreements, one to talk about our Cleveland Zoo Halloween night event and golf booking enhancement system. That is, we're looking at, like as you would at a dentist, you would get a text message reminder of your tee time. If you choose to give up your tee time, it would then go to the people who are on the wait list and really improve the customer service in our golf area. We've done a lot of research and talked to a lot of folks that use the system, and they swear by it. So we're excited to have that in here as well. All of the recommended approvals are in pages 23 through 28.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Wade, approval of vouchers and payroll.
Thanks, Joe. Commissioners, on page 32, you'll see resolution 25-05-068. And it says vouchers, which includes checks, wires, EFTs. All those listed have been reviewed as to their legality, and they conform with the Ohio Revised Code. The amount that I'm asking approval is $15,062,158.39.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Commissioners, on the next page, page 33, you'll see resolution 25-05-069. Again, this is for vouchers, which would include payments. They've been reviewed as to their legality, and they comply with their Ohio Revised Code. This is a JP Morgan credit card payment to Arborware in the amount of $156.86. I would ask your approval.
Move to approve.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And Dan Morrison.
Yes.
Okay, so we're ready for public comment. Hardy.
Not a worry.
My remarks today address Rose's response to my annual budget request for a paper copy of the budget. I do acknowledge receipt of the Metro Parks 2025 budget on April 29th. However, the cover letter contains inaccuracies and misrepresentations. First, the delay beyond the permissible 3 months was due to Metro Parks' actions, not mine. Any inference that I caused the delay indicates that records were not kept as required in an easily accessible form, allowing them to be provided on paper as ORC requires. ORC 149.43b6 permits the requester to receive any records on paper, as I have done for all previous budget books. I did not request a new record. You are required to produce an annual budget, which I have requested and received for decades. Nor is this a new record, and to claim that is a misrepresentation. It has always been supplied on paper, amounting to, at most, 230 pages. This year I was given, belatedly, 780 pages, weighing over 4 pounds. I was informed that you will not be able to create this record again, and that going forward, the budget will only be available online. As you are aware, I am no stranger to Metro Parks, having attended board meetings for the last 29 years, for my own knowledge, and as a member of the public. While it is unfortunate that an employee needed 3 weeks to produce a paper copy The ORC requires records to be provided on paper if so requested. My request, as in prior years, was for it to be in that form. The delays are your responsibility. Failure to prepare for that request and to then attempt to shift blame to me is misrepresentation of the facts. My request to and verbal follow-ups with Rose Feeney occurred at board meetings in February, March, and April of this year, with no explanation for the delays. Attempting to deny your responsibility by shifting blame onto me reflects efforts to thwart my right to obtain records. These threats, taken together with the triple over-the-top warnings of criminal trespass, constitutes an effort to intimidate a citizen, to discourage me from investigating and discussing my concerns with safety and fiscal responsibility. If you truly wanted to provide enhanced ADA access to your records, you would first archive video links to your board meetings where expenses are approved, not wait for citizens to jump in later at the budget level. Thank you.
Yes, Commissioner Itu, I'd like to respond to some of those things. Ms. Lesher said there are inaccuracies and misrepresentations within Rose's letter with the budget book request. That's wrong. What I will say is that we complied with the law. We are not required to make a record. In this instance, we took a lot of time to put this together, and this will serve as a kind of a lesson for our future years, that as we went to a new way of reporting the budget, which is an interactive form, which is very transparent, helps the public see where our expenses are and where they're going. So in the future, we're not going to do that. We're not going to spend that time because we're not required to under the law. And I will say that, you know, just this morning we got our audit back, and the STARS report said that, you know, Cleveland Metro Parks has an exemplary public records process. We received 4 stars on that report. In the notion that we're trying to intimidate a citizen, we're simply enforcing our laws. You know, where the public's allowed to, for their own safety, to come and to not come, and then we're also compliant with the public records law. So, thank you.
Thank you.
And if I can add on, as it relates to our budget process, so that everyone's clear, it's an interactive, searchable budget now that's entirely online. There is a button that if a citizen wants to print that entire document, they hit print and it comes out. But as we've all seen many times, documents don't come out margined correctly and things like that, but it does go from what used to be a hard copy budget of about 200 to 250 pages to 700 pages, because you can drill down onto every single expenditure, every single project, every single disbursement, every single receipt. When did it come in? When, you know, when's it accounted for? So in terms of disclosure and transparency, I would say this is the gold standard. And we're not the only government that does this. Many, many do. But the decision was made as a courtesy, and it was made in finance, because Marty has attended many meetings and gotten this report, to print one out this time. But it did take a lot of time for a staff to do that. And we don't normally do that. We only did that to assist her this year. But in the future, we're going to direct citizens that want a hard copy to hit print, and they can print out their own hard copy. But it's actually better disclosure than previously, and we're pretty proud of our budget process in what we do.
So you're saying no good deed goes unpunished?
That's, yes.
I have this clear. So is there an ORC law that requires that documents be available for print, and is the fact that we have it online, interactive, with an ability to print, is that meeting the requirements?
Yes, it is our, the public is able to print that document.
Okay.
And so it is our budget, and what we are doing is compliant with the Ohio Revised Code.
And that is me. Okay, thank you.
I was going to say, that's our understanding. We don't have to create a record if a record
doesn't
exist.
We're not required under state law, no.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, I think we have an informational briefing.
Yes, yeah, we have one informational item. It is a bittersweet item. Judy McKeegan will be retiring. This will be her last formal presentation to the board, talking about some of her personal favorite history moments. I want to take this opportunity to publicly thank her for everything that she contributed to Cleveland Metro Parks over the tenure of her career, especially during the centennial celebration. She was integral. Me and Brian like to have history emergencies and text her, email her every time a thought flies into our head and we can't remember what happened. I don't know who we're going to call for history emergencies in the future, but we're going to have to figure out.
I was at Ticonderoga one time when Brian called me, and I'm like, I'm on vacation. I'm in New York.
So, history emergencies.
History emergencies. That's one of my favorite memories is, you know, Joe texts me, we have a history emergency. I'm like, that's an oxymoron. But yeah, so, you know, history is what's happened. Emergency is emerging out. So, but we worked it out.
It's all a matter of perspective.
So, yeah, exactly. So, this is really kind of surreal to be here for my, I mean, I remember the first time I got up here in front of the board about 12 years ago, and I was a nervous wreck. I was just like, ah. So, but it's nice to be back for one more time, and this was kind of an indulgence for me. And I said a few of my favorite things, because how can you pick? People do this to me all the time when I'm in public. What's your favorite spot in the Metro Parks? I'm like, how much time do you have for me to talk? I mean, how can you pick? It's like picking a favorite child, right? And so I just threw a few of the highlights of a few buildings that I love, because most of my work is with history, so I work with them human-made projects most of the time. But then I also put in a few of my favorite places outside, or one of them happens to be right here on our thing right here. All right, so I said I knew how to use this. Let me see if I do. No, obviously I don't. There we go, the big button. That's right. So we're going to start with Lookabout Lodge. This is probably my favorite building in all of the Cleveland Metro Parks. And as a historian, what I love about it is you walk into this building and you're seeing pretty much what was there in 1939 when it was built for the Cleveland Natural Science Club for their use, with a partnership, one of our earliest partnerships, I might add, for buildings, and also with the WPA. So this is WPA work. And to this day, it's beautiful. I've been there on a sunny day. I've been there in the winter, and I've been there on a stormy day where we thought the lights were going to go out and we have to use candles, which would be really cool. But it's just a beautiful, beautiful spot to be at. It has a wonderful history. The craftsmanship that goes into this, went into this building is just phenomenal. So that's a modern picture of it. This is it when it was being built. This is one of my favorite photographs in our archives. The Cleveland Natural Science Club, I don't have time to go into their whole history, but they started as science teachers, mostly women, in the 1920s, who wanted to sort of continue their continuing education. And eventually, of course, their families joined in. So we've got these two young men here sitting in the window as this is being built. And of course, it was being built out of a chestnut wood. A lot of it was chestnut wood, because this is the 1930s when our chestnuts, unfortunately, were dying. But a lot of the buildings at that time took advantage of the blighted wood, and went ahead and took the chestnut and made it into buildings. One fun fact you may or may not know is that the architecture that for Lookabout Lodge was inspired by Old Faithful Inn at Yellowstone Park. And there is, you can see how similar these are, only this is on a much, much larger scale. And this actually has a name. It's called parkitecture. And it's like, it was meant to look as if these buildings just kind of rose out of the stone and wood that were natural. And parkitecture is now an official word. You can look it up in a modern dictionary. And I think it's a fun word. And I actually love, if we had just stayed with this kind of architecture forever and ever, I'd be a happy camper. Brecksville Nature Center is my next favorite, and for some of the same reasons. This is a WPA project from the same time period that Lookabout Lodge, almost exactly the same year, 1939. This opened to the public. It is the only one left of our original trailside museums. And again, you can walk in there. This is an old picture. If you walked in there today, About the only difference is those benches kind of move around, but they're there. And over to the right of the picture is now where we have our welcome desk. So you can walk into this building and kind of time travel back into time. And what I love, and I am so grateful always to Sean and his group, that when they built the new Trailside Program Center there, which of course was very much needed. Brecksville is a wonderful facility in terms of history, but it's tiny. And they struggled for many years with this tiny place, and there's no bathroom in it, in case you didn't know that. All the naturalists there have to go outside still to use the restroom, but now they have modern flush toilets, which is much better. But this building, as you can see, just blends right in. It is almost exactly the same type of architecture that the original building, and it just makes it a beautiful campus there over at Brecksville. If you haven't gone, it's great, plus the trails are wonderful there. So again, one of my favorite spots. Of course, I had to put Squire's Castle in. This is like everybody's question. Every year at Halloween, I get they send me over these reporters looking for stories on the haunted Squire's Castle, which I debunk right away, and they're not very happy with that. But it's still such a cool spot, and the story, in my mind, is even better than ghost stories of Fergus Squire and building this gatehouse for his big house that was never built. We don't even know where the big house was going to be, presumably up on the hillside behind, because the gatehouse, you would have gone through the porte cochere there and into up the hill to the big house. And instead, he moved to Wycliffe, and where they built Cobblestone Garth. Fun fact about Cobblestone Garth, the only remaining part of that is the gatehouse. So both of Squire's gatehouses are left. I always have to explain what a gatehouse is to a lot of young people nowadays, because they're not real common anymore. But these are some of the oldest pictures we have of Squire's. And the one up on the top there, that is the Cleveland Hiking Club in 1919. They did a hike out to Squire's Castle, and they got up on the roof. They were in the windows there, so we know the stairs were still there. But we also know... Oh my gosh, that's my phone. I turned it off. I know I did, Mary. Thank you. It's a history emergency, that's right. It's probably Brian calling. So they're up on top. There's other pictures there in the windows. So we know the stairs were there, but we also know by 1919, there were no caretakers in the house, obviously, because these young hiking club people were able to climb up there. And that's also the hiking club. In 1928, they were busy helping create trails throughout North Chagrin. And this was their headquarters. You could also see the graffiti up on top above them. That was there. We got this property in 25, we were kind of in negotiations for it. By 26, this was definitely a part of the Metro Parks, so the Cleveland Hiking Club was helping to create trails throughout the parks at that time. Okay, on to nature. Mill Creek Falls. First of all, who doesn't love waterfalls, right? This is the highest waterfall in Cuyahoga County. It holds some special significance to me, not only because it's beautiful now and I love to take people there, and what we've done to create the trail that goes from Garfield there and the platforms that you can stand on. And if you walk down to the picnic area, you get another view of this falls. Of course, the interesting thing, that red line that you see, that's the original way that that Mill Creek ran, and the falls were right about where that arrow is pointing. So the falls that we see today have been moved in 1906 by the railroad, so that the railroad could come through there, as you see it. And it was moved about 350 yards south and east of where the original falls were. So the falls that we see are not the falls that Moses Cleveland and his surveyors would have seen. But the reason was the railroad used to run right down Broadway. I mean, like, right? And they finally decided around 1900 that's not too safe. So they moved the railroad, and in order to do that, they had to move a waterfall. which is kind of a fun progress. I'd wonder how much that cost. I've never been able to find out. This is sort of outdoors, but also man or human-made. This is our new pier at Euclid Beach. It's absolutely gorgeous. You go out there on a sunny day and look across. It's like you're on a cruise ship out in the Caribbean. I mean, we forget how beautiful our lake is. It's a little gray in this picture, but the day we dedicated this, if you remember, the sun was shining, and it was so, so beautiful. And I think that was our last big hurrah before the world closed down. So it's just a beautiful, beautiful construction. And a little history, the pier at Euclid Beach used to go straight out and way out into the lake. Originally, back in 1900, you could take a boat from East 9th Street to Euclid Beach there. That didn't happen after a while. This is from the 1930s. And of course, again, our planning and development, and Sean and his guys made sure that this pier does not go way out. It curves a little and helps that we don't have to repair it every year like they used to have to do because of the way the wind and the waves would buffet that. So we still have a beautiful pier. It's lovely to walk on, but of course it's much, much safer and sustainable. This is the Great Falls of Tinkers Creek. That is its actual name. And it's not as high as Mill Creek Falls, but man, is it impressive. I mean, it's just beautiful to stand there, hear the water. I read somewhere that the ions that are produced by waterfalls are literally like healthy for you. They are literally reducing the cortisol in your body, all kinds of cool things. If I could build a little cabin and live there, I would. It's just a beautiful spot every time of the year. And my favorite, though, is winter when the ice freezes and there's all kinds of icicle formations. It's absolutely fabulous to go out to the Great Falls of Tinkers Creek. This is one of the places, though, I wish I could time travel because there were mills, all kinds of mills there over the years, starting in the 1820s. If I could go back to about 1860 there and just kind of watch, that would be my favorite place to see how that was utilized. This is a picture from the 1950s. This is Bill Nimberger. He is actually the person we have to thank in some ways that we still have Tinkers Creek Gorge, because he's the one that was shouting out against the project of Shawnee Lake. Originally, they were going to dam Tinkers Creek and make another recreational lake. And he went around and did so much work there that they just finally decided that we should not turn that gorge into a lake, because it has all kinds of beautiful flora and fauna that doesn't exist anywhere else in the parks. And so we have William Nimberger to thank for that. We also have him to thank for a lot of the early pictures we have from the 30s and again in the 50s when he was out there. But this is my most favorite thing. I love every place in the parks, but it's the people. I didn't want to put individual pictures because I thought, how could I do that? We'd be here all day. This is the one I could find of us. I think this is 2019 group photo out at Crossroads. So I am so privileged to have worked with this group of people. Commissioners, thank you for, and two of you have been here the whole time I've been here, and Yvette, but I just, it's been such a privilege to share these little bits of history with you. I thank you for all the years that you listened to me do all these little things. I will have more favorite things because now I will get to go out and walk the trails and do bird watching in the parks, you know, not all of my history wakes. In 2020, when we started to come back to life here, and Mary said, you have to do history hikes now because we can't do indoor programs. And I went, a what? A history hike? What in the world? But I found that has been the most favorite part of my work for the past 5 years. So again, thank you all for these opportunities. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Judy, and thank you again. That is our only informational. Oh, there we go. That's our only information briefing item. We have no old business. Our next scheduled meeting is Thursday, June 19th at 8 a.m., and there is no executive session.
Motion to adjourn. Sorry about that.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.